So I begin again. This is the Kaddish Yosem, or Mourner's Kaddish, or Kaddish for the orphan, technically is the way the translation is, which is a prayer that's done in Jewish tradition for a year by the mourners, the orphans, the relatives of the person who died, done once a day or three times a day or several times a day at different services or just by itself. It's a fairly complex prayer, but I won't say anything about it more than the fact that joining Faye in doing it is a way of us supporting her in this process of mourning, if we use that word. Mourning for the death, the passing of her partner, wife, Joyce Meyer, who is also a Sangha member and who we all know. So this is an opportunity for us all to share what we wish about our life with Joyce's life in the Sangha, and whatever we feel or wish to. What I say is being recorded, but after that, nothing will be recorded. So you'll feel free to say what you wish, and Mushin will, coordinate us doing this. I want to bring up several aspects of Joyce and Joyce's life practice. I met Joyce when I came to Illinois. I probably also met her. I know I met her several times when she came to sit with Joko. But I want to pick up three incidents that in a way are an opportunity to talk more about Joyce. As some of you know, I began coming to Illinois when the Prairie Zen Center, or what became the Prairie Zen Center, was up. We were sitting in the garage of Heidi's house, not the house she's in now, but a prior house. And she very generously made her garage open and into a zendo for us to all sit together. So we used to have sesshin there, and we used to sit there at other times. One of the times during sesshin, as was my custom, I brought up a case from the Blue Cliff Record, and I'll just read a little bit of the case. This is the 18th case of the Blue Cliff Record, Heikigan Roku. Emperor Su Tsong asked National Teacher Wei Chung, "After you die, what will you need?" The National Teacher said, "Build a seamless monument for me." The Emperor said, "Please tell me, Master, what the monument would look like." The National Teacher was silent for a long time. Then he asked, "Do you understand?" The Emperor said, "I don't understand." The National Teacher said, "I have a disciple to whom I have transmitted the teaching who is well versed in this matter. Please summon him and ask him about it." So I will stop at this point. It's a little longer. And I had spoken about this case during a sesshin. And Joyce came in afterwards at some point to speak to me, and she was very taken by this case, and we talked about this at length, and she explored it at different times. So that was, I won't say, I can't even say what she was taken by it about at that point, but it was something that was important for her, and in a way it was significant in her practice, this whatever we call seamless monument. I'm not going to say much about that, because all of you are going to share about Joyce's manifesting seamless monument. period after that, I think it was at the Prairie Zen Center, but it might have been at some prior incarnation of the Zen Center on Neal Street or somewhere else. I don't remember exactly where it was, but there was I was again talking about a case in the Blue Cliff Records. This is the 55th case, and I'll quote just a little of it. Dawu and Chin Yuan went to a house to make a condolence call. So in the condolence calls in China, they had the body in the coffin in the house. So Yuan hit the coffin and said to his teacher, "Alive or dead?" And his teacher said, "I won't say alive, I won't say dead." And Yuan said, "Why won't you say?" And his teacher said, "I won't say." Halfway back, as they were returning, Yuan said, "Tell me right away, teacher. If you don't tell me, I'll hit you." His teacher said, "You may hit me, but I won't say." Yuan then hit his teacher. Later, his teacher passed away. Now there's more to this koan. I really won't go into that, but this was something that Joyce again came in particularly interested in, and we explored it in her practice in different ways at that time. But then there came a time when Joyce and I decided that together, that it would be nice for her to explore Zen practice and Judaism, her Jewish practice, together, because her Jewish practice was always a fundamental part of who she was, her Jewish life. So she and we decided to work with a very simple phrase. This is something that some of you might be familiar with, even though you don't have much of a Jewish background or any Jewish background at all. This is called the Shema, and it's a traditional prayer that Jews do at morning and evening services, and every night before they go to sleep, if they're traditional. And also, it's a phrase that Jews would use just before they died, if they knew they were dying, or just before they were killed. So it's very well known, and it was told to me by people who were in the Holocaust death camps, that Jews who knew they were being killed, being put into the gas chamber, most Jews didn't know that they would go in singing this prayer. And it was also told to me that people who were in, during the Holocaust, who were shot and thrown into pits, when people knew that was going to happen, they would chant this prayer. And also that when Jews were in, sometimes the Jews were put into a synagogue and locked up, and then the building was burnt, they would also use this prayer then. And it's also was traditional when during the Inquisition, Jews were burnt alive or burnt in synagogues, or even before then, they would chant this prayer. So this prayer is a short prayer. It goes, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Literally, it means, Hear Israel, God, our God, God is one. That's the simple phrase. However, Joyce and I worked with this, with each word of this as a koan, and she took this as her life practice koan in many ways. I will say that I had previously worked on this koan when I was a practitioner when I sat with Bernie Tetzigan Glassman, who also had a Jewish background. And at some point while we were doing koan, we decided to do various Jewish koan, and he and I worked on this as a koan at length. And Joyce wanted to do this kind of practice, and she took it on for herself as a life practice. So, and very much worked on her practice and her life being one, means that her Jewish past, her Zen past, were just her one life practice in all realms, in all activities. I won't say anything more, because all of you knew Joyce, or many of you knew Joyce, and you can share and flesh this out. But I wanted to bring this up just to acknowledge it and acknowledge Joyce's lifetime practice, all the time practice in all sorts of activities, in all sorts of times, not just the formal times when she was at the Zen Center or in Sesshin or doing Samu, but in all sorts of ways. I won't say anything more, but I very much appreciate Joyce's life, death, ongoing practice. Thank you.